Your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. I appreciate God just bringing us here together and being part of our services. How faithful the Lord's been to us over the years. And I want to thank Him on behalf of each and every one of us. Thank God for the goodness of God and how He's been beside us and guided us along the way in times that we didn't deserve it and the times we did. Amen. As we look tonight, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. And as we look in this chapter, the theme, of course, is the Sermon on the Mount, 48 verses, 1,081 words, excuse me, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible at a 5.9 grade level. And I thank God that He gave us the love letter He gave us. We don't have to go to 15 other places to find out what God said. We can come to what God said. When I hear somebody get up and they make light of the Bible or they correct the Bible, I don't like it. And I'm going to tell you why. They're correcting God. I had an opportunity today. We was talking about something in the Scriptures the other day, and it come up. And I didn't think about this but a second before I said it. I was around some people that are, shall we say, not King James. I believe they love the Lord. They're just confused on the issue. And we was talking about a certain verse in the Bible. I said, that's what gets me and what hurts me about the Bible translation. They said, what? I said, they attack Jesus in that verse. If I go back in my life to what started all this, after I first got saved and I figured out something was wrong, the first thing I noticed is attacking the blood of my Savior. You can't take that away from the Bible. Without that, there is no Bible. There would be no Bible. There'd be no reason to have a Bible. Why? Because if there was no blood, it wouldn't matter at all. We'd all be on our way to hell. And how dare a bunch of reprobates that claim they're Bible scholars dig something out of a trash can and go to the Pope's library to come up with the fact they're smart enough to correct God in this book. For everyone listening at home and for watching at home, everybody's nodding their heads. They're just afraid to say amen, afraid you'll hear them. But I said it, and I'll stand by it till I die. I said, I'll stand by it if nobody else will say amen. Two guys like it. Amen. Can I go for three? Three, we got three going four. Four. Now, as we look tonight in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 5, we're down at verse 8, and He says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You read in the Bible where it says that no man shall see God at any time. He's not talking about a man looking upon God. He's talking about somebody that's blessed will get to see God. As we go to the Lord in prayer today, I want to preach to you on the path to purity. The path to purity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to You and we thank You, God, for letting us be here and be alive. And Lord, while we're here in the Word of God, while we're looking at the good things of God, keep us reminded tonight, Lord, that You're still Lord of everything. And God, You still got everything under control. And Lord, while we meet here tonight, God, we want to thank You, Lord, for the ability to just breathe and walk on Your real estate, even though, God, we should be in hell tonight. And Lord, for what You've done for us, God, there's nothing we shouldn't be able to do for You. But Lord, tonight we do ask two things, Lord. Number one is this, God, that You'd give us understanding in this precious book, and that You'd help us and You'd teach us this book by Your Holy Spirit, God, that You promised would teach us. And we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And Lord, I pray tonight the other thing we request You tonight, God, You'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank You in advance for everything You're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight at the path to purity, He said, blessed, He said, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. First thing I want you to notice about your text tonight is what He said first. Blessed. Blessed. Every one of these things we've looked at from verse 3 down to here already, it starts off with the word blessed, and we call these the Beatitudes. And blessed, of course, means this. You're satisfied in spite of or irregardless of your circumstances. Paul put it this way. He said he said he is okay no matter what state he was in. He was content with that thing. And the more we're content with where God put us, the more we'll be convinced that God can do anything He wants to with us. I know a lot of times it looks bad on us and we say, you know, the things are just not like the good old days and all this other stuff. You might be looking at the good old days right now. There may come a time in your life you look back to right now and say, that was the good old days. I know right now that this world seems wicked, but listen, it hadn't got as bad as it's going to get yet. We're worried about whether or not the Democrats are going to oppose building the wall. Who cares? I know one city that's got a wall around it so nobody can steal inside that thing. And if they oppose that, I'm directly against them. And I ain't talking about the Vatican either. I'm talking about that New Jerusalem has a wall around it. And it don't have pearly gates. You go study that thing out. Them things is great big pearls where you can't get around them. Wonder how big the oyster was had to put that thing out there. I hope you don't run on him next time you're swimming. Amen. When we as kids, we used to go to the creek and find them little old things out there in the water. Imagine finding one that size, a whole one like that. That would at least have to be 8 feet tall and about 8 feet wide. And the thing you'd have to put out, it's not like the pearly gates like you see on these little jokes and commercials. No, it's the pearl quarry gate, see? God only uses the best for heaven. And listen, that city has a wall around it. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Blessed, satisfied over circumstances. I'm satisfied whether they build one or whether they don't, you understand? But what I do see is this. I see the path that Jesus mentions about. He looks down upon the believer and he says, blessed. Why would he say blessed when we're in bad circumstances? Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. What if we're getting chased by the Lord? Well, he did say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, listen. Thank God for a God who's active and not passive, that's able to teach us and guide us along the way. Blessed, he said. That's the observation of Christ. Christ is here at the Sermon on the Mount, starting his earthly ministry. He looks around and says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The observation he makes is simply this. You know, we put it in modern English so you really get this thing. Boy, you got it made. You got it made. So, preacher, you know how bad I've got it. No, I've asked people. I'm quitting asking. I made a mistake the other week and I let it slip. How you doing to somebody? Boy, that's a wrong thing to say to that person. For the next 5 hours, I was listening to how they had it. I decided then, I repented for the 483rd time of asking that thing to somebody. Next time it's going to be, hey! Can I give you a clue here? Just because you can don't mean you should. And just because it happens don't mean you ought to tell it sometimes. Right. And if it's something physical that probably you shouldn't discuss with opposite sex, you probably shouldn't tell me neither. Hmm. Amen. Yeah. Pray for my health problem, preacher. If it gets serious, that's different. But listen to this. I know some people... Every scratch is almost like needing 100 stitches. Or you'd think by hearing them tell it. They don't realize something. You know what? You are blessed. Yeah. Blessed. I had a friend growing up, and he was a sight. And they moved over to Blacksburg over there. I don't know why he moved to Blacksburg. I forget why it was. But he went over there, and he started hopping trains over there, little slow trains that come by, and he'd jump on and say, look, I'm a hobo, and he fell, and one of them cut off his leg. You know what he was? He told me this one day. He said, you know what I am? I said, what are you? He said, blessed. So why did he say that? He said, did get both of them. Think about that thing. Here's a guy who's got it way worse than you got it right now, lost it up to the hip and said, I'm still blessed. Still blessed. That don't help his driving skills. So if he's listening, he knows who I'm talking about. Some people, you can't do nothing with their driving skills. They can be saved as you are and can't drive. I don't know what it is. Some of the, I feel the guilt and conviction all in the room. But the observation Christ makes when he looks down on us is blessed. You ever thought why he might say blessed and all these things? Because he could see down below where you're standing? No matter how bad you got it on earth, there's still a hell beneath your feet that the devil and his angels are still going to and all the lost people are going to. When I hear people say hell on earth, they don't know what you're talking about. Luke chapter 16, there's a man in hell over there wanting to get out. Mark chapter 9, the Bible says that their worm dieth not over there. The ground clave asunder of them. And Numbers chapter 14, I believe it was, over there. I mean, they went straight to hell. Hell's in the center there. You say, what about them things we saw in our science books where they show they ain't been that far. They ain't even drilled a tenth of the way there. They're speculating a lot of stuff there. Oh, wait a minute. That's called religion. When you have no proof, but you have faith only on the thing. It's kind of like this. Have you seen God yet? And please, please don't let us say yes. Lord have mercy. You got to be careful when I say that. Don't answer me when I say, have you seen God? Don't say, but have you seen God? No, you haven't. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. But Christ, he's God manifest in the flesh. They saw him. If you'll hold your Bible and look over at John chapter 14, he said, blessed what? Are. Blessed are. Are is present tense. And number two tonight, we see the occupation of Christ. And we get to looking at the occupation of Christ. I'm going to show you this. In John chapter 14, blessed are the pure in heart. For they're going to do what? They're going to see God. When is this purity available? Well, if you look at John chapter 14, verse number 1, it's very comforting here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. Who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ. I got a problem when you talking about his work being rooms and not mansions. Right. You say, well, really, heaven's one big mansion. We got all kind of rooms. No, heaven's a city, mm-hmm. New Jerusalem, and it has many mansions. Yeah. I don't know how they come up with that stuff. I don't know if it's wishful thinking or it's the devil or what, but somehow or another it's wrong. But here's what I like right here. If it were not so, you see that? If it were not so, I would have told you, he says. This is the God that cannot lie, according to Titus chapter 1, verse 2, is letting us know that when we deal with his observation of blessed, his occupation of the thing, the word are, blessed are, when is this purity available? When he says it's available. And he says this, if it were not so, I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Spoken like a true Baptist. Spoken like a true Baptist. And he says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're talking about the path to purity and the occupation of Christ on this. And he says in verse 7, if ye had known me, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And then an honest question from a guy who wasn't trying to throw doubt on everything like the Baptist was in verse 5. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. And he's in reply to that, we're talking about the occupation of Christ. According to the Word of God, when you get saved, at that moment, God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit of God seals himself to you. The Holy Spirit is the seal that you have that shows you belong to God. No matter what you do from that point, no matter where you go or where you wind up, you cannot change that seal. Y'all ever watch the Western movie and they got them brands on them? There's some horse thieves that said that somebody stole some horses from them on one of these old Western movies. And the old guy looked around and said, you know what? He said, you stole our horses. And the guy said, I don't think I stole your horses. Yeah, you got them out of my stable. He said, what does this mark mean? He pulled up a blanket and had the guy's mark before him. He said, oh, that mark. Well, you know, I got, I, appropriated them from him, you know. Listen to this. You take what you want to, but that horse is still marked by its owner. You say what you want to, that thing ain't going away. Do you know what? Listen, if when they branded cows, you know they branded them in a place where it's on the edge of the cow? Because that cow gets used for leather later, and when that brand goes through, it marks that leather, so they didn't want it right in the middle in case it's going to make you a coat. Mark it on the edge when you cut that off and we get the cow skin. Right? But you know what God's seal is? His seal is the Holy Spirit of God. He seals your soul until the day of redemption. I'm glad mine's marked all the way through, ain't you? And I notice his is not a brand, it's a seal. And the seal is not broken by sin because this seal is never broken. Why? Because of the occupation of Jesus Christ. He says over here in John chapter 14, look down at verse number 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And as I look at that, I see the occupation in Christ in the fact that he said, I'll show you the Father, but before I ever show you the Father, I'm going to show you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Here's something to just maybe scramble your brains a little bit, but the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, right? So that's right here in this chapter in John 14. Has it ever dawned on you that he's as much God as Jesus is God and God the Father is God, but yet there's not 300% God, there's 100% God? Blows my mind. Not three gods, one God. And the way you describe this thing and look at this is the fact that God puts that number three, his fingerprint, on so many things. It's made up of three. But there's one thing he does with you that's more amazing than that, that you've yet to figure out. He's made you in his image in the person of Adam, and when that image was lost, it's restored in Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What are they talking about? Well, I felt like I had such an emptiness, and then I got saved and it was filled. You had a dead spirit within inside you, and when God saved you, that spirit was born again. And there's that fullness. But to top that off, he said, I'll put my spirit within you. And he done that. And now he occupies the thing. Do you know what the greatest thing about being Japanese is right now? Let me tell you what it is. Boy, I wish I could preach this to them. Maybe they're listening. The greatest thing about being Japanese right now is this. They're probably the number one electronics place in the world. I'll give them that. But they got the best army in the world occupying their shores. See, we were occupying them. That was conditions back in 1940-something, wasn't it? You can't have an army no more. We occupy you. War's over with America for Japan. We ain't got to worry about them attacking us again. Why? We are their army now. And that's a good picture of something right there. The Lord God Almighty saved you. The war was over when he saved your never dying soul. And now he even says you don't have to fight for yourself. Avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Why? Because you occupied. And when you occupy a country and take their army, and disband their defenses, you become their defenses. And that's what God Almighty's done for you. Occupied. I see the occupation of Christ. I see when the purity is available. It's when he shows up. But I see where the purity is available. It's available whenever you get pure in heart. Now, again, I would ask you, are you pure in heart? Somebody would raise their hands and I'd just go. Did that leave a mark? It's like one of them wrestlers. I'll cut myself in a minute. But listen to this. Blessed are the pure in heart. I've heard people say this, pure in heart. And then I go read the Bible and find out, boy, they are badly deceived about that one. I read where people say, well, I believe I'm pure in heart, preacher. Well, let's just test that, okay? I want you to hold your place here at John 14. We've got Matthew 5, verse 9 memorized. Is that correct? Or is it Matthew 5, 8? All right, so what does it say? Blessed are the, for they shall. We're going to come back to John 14. Why don't you look over to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Let's check your heart out, okay? This word heart's become so big in our day and age, we even have the hospitals having a heart center now. How about that? Such a big thing. Everybody that goes there, for some reason, they have to have heart surgery. Imagine that. Wonder why that is. I've never seen somebody go in there and they hadn't done something to them. Have you? I've yet to see somebody go in there and say, oh, you're perfect. Yeah, walk right back up the door. But I've never seen somebody come to God Almighty and claim to have a pure heart. Because this is what God says about them. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful. If you was playing Price is Right, you'd hear, dun, 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 dun. Already lost before you even get up there to go, yay, I'm on TV. The heart is deceitful above all things. And you right there, you already beat. But then he says, and. Don't you hate this when God just, you know, cuts you out, puts you on the ground or something, and then he stands over and says, and. He says, and, watch this, and desperately wicked. So we've already lost. No seeing God for us. He says, who can know it? And he says, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. He said, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Man, God's pretty tough on this stuff about purity. So when we say we got a good, he's good-hearted, you ain't good-hearted. You ain't even close. What I do see out of people when they say they're good-hearted, they're good at lying to themselves, or they're good at lying to somebody else. Somebody else ain't figured it out yet. And if there's no good-hearted people, there's no pure-heart people, so we can't see God. Isn't that something? We started off blessed, and here we are down in the dumps and having to move to the ghetto and everything else because we really ain't as good-hearted as we thought. I had a man tell me one time with a clear conscience. He said, I believe in my heart that such and such is such and such. I said, what if your heart's wrong? He said, it can't be. I said, but what if it is? He said, well, wouldn't the Bible say so? I said, probably. It probably would. He said, does it really say that? Are you? And he was serious. He said, you're making me nervous now. Does the Bible really say anything about that? Yeah. Not only got an and out of God over here, and you ever heard these people say, well, now in the New Testament, Old Testament, God over there is judgmental. He's wicked. He's mean to everybody. He wants to crush the wicked and all this other stuff. Well, let's look at the God of the New Testament and see what he says. Same God. Look at Mark chapter 7. We briefly covered this the other night, but I want to cover it again. Here we have our little fireside Wednesday night chat here, Mark chapter 7. Here's what your Bible says. Mark chapter 7. It's a strange thing when you get around people and you find out what they believe. You tell them something, but just being kind to them because you don't want to be deceived by the devil. It says in Mark chapter 7, for from within, out of the heart of man. It's the New Testament, right? Out of the heart of man, he says this, proceed evil thoughts. Here's a good one for you. I thought your brains were up here. But God said, out of your heart proceed evil thoughts. What a strange statement. And he says this, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And Jesus wasn't referring to the acts you do with your body at all. He just talked about what comes out of here. So if the heart's deceitfully and desperately wicked, and God says, who can know it? He said, I, the Lord. He said, I've searched the heart. I've tried the reins. This is what he found. And then bearing down on that, we still look at the fact that the Bible still says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think there's only one solution to that problem, don't you? You know what it is? You need a transplant. I had a friend who had a kidney transplant. That meant he had to give another one. His wasn't working. I met a man, and about 28 years ago, right after we got married, I met this guy. And I don't know if he's even still alive now, I forget, but I haven't heard from him in a while. But he had an open heart surgery, and they went in there and they closed him up, so you're going to have a transplant. He got on the transplant list, and lo and behold, transplant came through. They said, "We want you to come over here, we're ready for you." He said he is in the hospital at late at night over at Spartanburg Regional. He is in his room. Next day, they're going to do this big surgery. And he said, "I knew there's a devil." He said, "But the devil came sneaking through that room at night when everybody was gone and everybody got quiet and the lights dimmed down." I said, "Did you describe a nightclub or the hospital? I'm getting lost here." He said, "And the devil said, you'll never get off the table in the morning. You'll die." And he said this. He said, "Lord," he said, "I know the devil's a liar because the devil also told me I'd never get a heart." Last count I had, he's 2 decades in with that transplant. He's done got it. Like I said, I don't know if he's alive right now. I hadn't heard he'd passed away. But I think 2 decades with somebody else's heart's doing pretty good, ain't it? So what was wrong? His heart was shutting him down. You know what you need? Listen, when your heart's shutting you down like this, it ain't your physical heart needs a transplant. He ain't talking about that one. How about your spiritual heart? He said, "You got a deep spiritual problem, and that deep spiritual problem keeps producing 13 things out of you." What an odd number of things, right? So the only way we're going to find where the purity is available is if we have a heart transplant. Let's look over to Ezekiel 36. Blessed are the pure in heart, right? For they'll do one thing. They shall see God. They shall see God. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. We see when the purity is available. It's available when God saves the sinner. And where is it available? It's available in the heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. First 3 words. A new heart. The path to purity starts right there. God has to replace some things. He said, "A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you." Now here's the thing. We could stop right there and say, man, God has given us that heart transplant. Now we've got a pure heart. But God said, "I still see you're empty. I still see you're dead in trespasses and sins. So I'm going to put a new spirit within you. I'm going to birth you again into the family of God." Boy, I like that. Listen, you think I'm a rascal now? You ought to have been around me before I got saved. I did things, and I did them in a clear conscience because I had a lost heart. But when I got saved, now things are different. I have this new spirit within me, and it wants to go to church, read the Bible, pray, tithe, all them things. And it battles this old flesh that wants to say, "Well, we don't have to do that right now. We can wait. God understands. God knows everybody's sins, all the other stuff." That war keeps going on. I found out something. Do you know that if you got a dog, you got to keep buying them dog food, right? And I found out something about dogs. If you don't feed them, they get lean and they get weak. And they can't beat up my cat. But if I don't beat up my cat, I got to feed that dog. Right? So whichever one of them things you feed, one's going to have more leeway in the thing. But he says this, instead of just worrying about that, verse 27, he says, "And I will put my spirit within you." God said, "You know what? Even though you got a new heart, even though you got a new spirit, even though you got these new things, there's one other thing I'm going to do for you. You didn't even ask for it. You wouldn't have even known about it if I wouldn't told you. But I'm going to put my spirit within you." Why is it so important that God does that? Well, see, you'll feed that flesh and that new spirit, you got to get lean. But the Holy Ghost don't matter. You can't feed or unfeed him. That's God. Yeah. And he says, "My spirit will I put within you, and," here it is, "cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Now, doctrinally, we look at this thing in application towards the new birth, and what we see there is that if you ever do anything good, it's because God caused it. How did he do it? He gave you a new heart that would respond to the Holy Spirit. He gave you a new spirit to respond to the Holy Spirit of God. And he done that so he could lead you. Where are we going? Well, we're going to heaven. So is this how a person works their way to heaven? They don't work their way to heaven at all. They're already on the road. The only deal is that you get saved how long the road is. Are you with me? So how long can it be? As long as God wants it to be. Or as short as God wants it to be. But God has the ultimate say-so when you get to heaven. And he says right there, for a fact, he said, a new spirit will I put within you, and my spirit will I put within you. Why? Because he wants to cause some things to happen in your life. All them things that you can look back on and you see the word blessed over there in Matthew chapter 5 all them times, that's something God caused. People try to work their way to blessings, but it gets back to the same thing. When we pull back the curtain, it was God doing it the whole time and not us. He still looks at our righteousness and says, filthy rags. But he sees what he's caused and he says, that's blessed. Now you know why he said, blessed are the pure in heart. It wasn't us working our way towards purity and washing ourselves and all this other stuff and being good boys and good girls and keeping the Sabbath and not doing this or doing that or whatever. Because all that stuff don't get you a new heart. You're born with one that's desperately wicked. God gives you another one. And I like that caused. That's past tense. He's already done it. Every good thing you'll ever do, he's going to cause it to do. And he's looking back on it saying, caused, past tense. It's all how God views time. You and I look at time and we say, oh man, the past was bad. The present doesn't look good. And you know, it's never going to work out in the future. But God says, blessed. I've learned so ever, what, no matter what state I'm therewith, to be content. Yeah. Why? Blessed. Did God just say, I put my spirit within you? Yes, he did. You are blessed. Did he say, new heart I'll give you? Blessed. New spirit I give you? Blessed. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart. What's so good about the pure in heart? You memorize the verse, you tell me. They shall see God. Don't raise your hands. This is not a thing I want you to answer. I want you to listen to the question. Have you seen God yet? If we're blessed, and I just showed you where we got a pure heart for the born-again believer, why haven't we seen God yet? There must be something to that. What do you think? Let's go back over to John chapter 14. There must be something to that thing. Now, from what we learn in the Scriptures, Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose again the third day. 500 witnesses saw him as he ascended into heaven. How many times have people saw him since then? The answer is two. Just two. One, when Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and saw him, and guess what? He's talking about, Father, forgive this crowd, you know, just like his Savior did. Why'd Jesus stand up there? Too much to go into tonight, but he did, and he saw him. So how did he see him? He is pure in heart. Somebody else saw him that wasn't so pure in heart. Who was that? Saul of Tarsus. You talking about getting knocked off your horse. You heard the people say, that'll knock you off your horse. That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. The manifest person of God shows up and boom, he's blinded of it. He didn't get to see him. I mean, he got a glimpse. That's about it. I mean, you know, he had scales before his eyes and everything. You can't look at bright light, not with a human body. It'll burn your eyeballs out, right? So he goes back somewhere. He's sitting there praying blind, never been blind in his life. Now Ananias is coming to pray God give his sight back. God's the one that took it. Blessed is he that taketh, and blessed is he that giveth. I mean, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he comes back and prays for him. But look down here at John chapter 14. We left off verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Man. So, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here's a good one. Looking at God and living through the experience are two very different things, right? But Jesus made the statement, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, again, he's the manifest presence of the Godhead bodily. That's Jesus Christ. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God looks like? He looks like whatever Jesus looks like. Say, was he a Jew? Well, what about that? God decided within people would look like him. Isn't that something? Listen, when you see a Jewish poor person, you know what you see? One of the worst looking poor people you see in your life. There's nothing about them that you would desire. When Christ come in the first advent, that's what we saw. Somebody who was not desirable. We didn't see handsome Hollywood Jesus, tall, dark, stunning, and handsome. We saw lowly carpenter Jesus in the carpenter shop. Lowly Jesus that preached this Sermon on the Mount. Lowly Jesus that was crucified and buried in a tomb, in a borrowed tomb. But then the resurrected Christ come out of that tomb. And when we shall see him, the Bible said, we shall be as he is. So what does that mean? Whatever he can do with his body here in the Gospels after he got up from the grave, you'll be able to do. Thank God I'll be able to fly without motion sickness before long. Thank God I'll be able to, listen, we'll get in heaven, y'all have him nice cars. You say, you want to see my new car God got me? And I say, yeah, and I can get to ride in the back seat of it and not get sick. I like it already. It's a glorified body he's talking about. Look up Revelation 22. We're talking about this right here, the occasion of Christ. When are we going to see God? When are we going to see him? When Jesus comes back. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. The Bible says this. What was that word again? Blessed. What was it say? What's the word blessed mean again? Satisfaction, regardless of circumstances, or irregardless of circumstances, same one said. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. How are we going to do his commandments? Because Christ died and paid our sins. It looks like we've done every one of them in God's eyes. How about that thing? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Man. What tree again? You know how bad the devil is. You know how wicked the devil is. They could have ate of the tree of life and still be alive right now in the garden, but he got them to get the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They thought they were getting something. They ate off the wrong tree. Two reasons why. God told them not to eat that tree, but that tree of life, they'd have got that thing, That's how sorry the devil is. You ever thought about that thing? They enter and have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. How about this? I look here and I see all this stuff here. And he said this, blessed are they that do his commandments, they that they might have the right to tree of life. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth the make of the lie. Does that sound like somebody we just read about over there? I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things, to testify to these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Isn't that something? What are we going to see when we get over there? We're going to see God. Been saying this the last few weeks, and now it becomes real to you. I hope it really gets hold of you tonight. When we get to heaven as believers, there's a lot of things you want to see and do. But when God introduces you to himself and the words, I am, come off his tongue, you may forget who you are for about 2,000 years there for a second. I don't see grandma. You may run into her in a little bit, but you ain't going to be able to take your eyes off him. You're going to say, why? Because he's the one been calling you blessed because of himself. And when he shows you what he's done for you, just letting you see him, knowing that with that body, with those eyes, that you can still look at him after the first second You'll be taking that thing in. All of a sudden, you'll think it's just you and God in heaven there for just about a second. So, well, let me be blessed. At all in circumstances, now you've arrived at the circumstance, the one where you'll be blessed eternally. But the bad thing is, when God pulls back the curtain of time, and you look at it, you have that the whole time. You know why Christians live in defeat? They don't realize why they are blessed. Why are we blessed? We're blessed because the occasion of Christ has come upon us. In the Old Testament, after Adam and Eve sinned, you know what they kept looking for? The Redeemer to come. They knew He was coming. And then after a while, God revealed through His prophets over there that He'd be a Jew, that He'd be born of the tribe of Judah, that He'd be, you know, all down the line there. And He had all that worked out there, and they kept looking at that and saying, He's coming. When He did come, they totally missed Him looking for a king when they should have been looking for the poor and lowly Jesus there, the carpenter, the son of Mary, right? Not the son of Joseph. So that's why I like in New Bibles, they say son of Joseph. I don't like that. He wasn't the son of Joseph at all. He's son of God. And when we look at him and we look at that scripture, they missed him right there. But for those that got it, God said, you know what? I'm going to use you to shake up the world. He took those guys in that one city and shook the entire world. Do you know everybody don't know your name? True story. You think you're the center of the universe, but nobody knows who you are. Here's the good part. Everybody knows who Jesus is. Whether they're in the Himalayan mountains and they up there with Hinduism and Taoism and they're trying to meditate and spin the prayer wheel, as it were. You go over and mention Jesus, that strikes something in those people. You go over to those Muslim countries that we're giving billions of dollars of aid money to every year, and they're killing one religion, and it's not the Catholics. Those that name the name of Christ have no protection over there. I'd hate to be in Afghanistan tonight. The gringos are going, I'd want to go too. Because all of a sudden now your police is gone. Your protection is gone. Except the fact that God's over there with them, I wouldn't want to stay, would you? You think you got it rough. Imagine this would be your last church service, so they might come get all of us with over there. You'd have to snuck in here tonight. We'd have to read the Bible with a flashlight and cut it off and comment on it very quietly. But listen to this. It's not all bad news. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We haven't seen Him yet, but we're fixing to see Him. Because He's coming soon. So what if I die first? You'll be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You'll be in no better place. I'm never worried about somebody dies or saved, are you? I'm always thankful for that. If they die out of here sick, that's good. They got healed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Uh-huh. If somebody says, well, what are you waiting on? Well, I'm still holding out for the rapture. I like that idea of taking off and heading straight up. I just like that. But I also like this. It'll solve every problem I have. And listen to this. I look at these words right here, and I look at what God's got to say, and I know this. God pulls back that eternity in time, and we look at it, and all we see is blessed. We said, boy, we're down here, but boy, we're blessed. Look where God was. We got over here, we're blessed. Look where God was, and look where we're standing here on these streets. The very thing we tried to work for, we paved the streets with it. Anybody got any asphalt in their pocket? Of course you don't. But the thing we covet over here on this side, they paved the streets with over there. That lets show you that you are blessed. Say, am I pure in heart? He gave you a new heart, didn't He? Say, will I see God? Did He see you into the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit? See that? Blessed. 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 Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Blessed.